श्रीमद् भागवतम 1738 प्रतिश्रुतम च भवता पांचाल्यै शृण्वतो मम आहार आहर्षिये शिरस्तस्य यस्ते मानिनि पुत्रः। कृष्णा इज स्पीकिंग टू अर्जुना एंड कृष्णा इज स्ट्रेसिंग टू अर्जुना दैट अश्वत्थामा शुड नॉट बी रिलीज्ड, that he should not be given any mercy. So the previous verse stated that, previous two verses stated that he has acted in a horrendous way, utterly unbefitting for Brahmana, and therefore he does not deserve any mercy, he deserves punishment. And Krishna is telling Arjuna, now is stressing that same point from the point of view of, from another angle. He is saying that, I have heard you, pratishrutam cha bhavata. Krishna is referring to Arjuna here in a respectful second person tone, not tvam, but you, bhavata. So Arjuna, you are honorable kshatriya and you have given your word, and you have not just given a word to any other person, you give this word to your own wife. Panchalyai shunvato mama. So you have spoken it. So now if it's a private word, even then a kshatriya should not break it. But if it's a word given publicly, then that should not never be broken. It's like we have Dashrath Maharaj. You know, he had given his word to Kaikeyi and he just couldn't break that word. Because that's the meaning of a kshatriya. A word of honor needs to be honored. So, Panchalyai Shunvato Mama. So, I've heard you speak this, O Arjuna. And aharishye shirastasya. What was the word that you have given? You said aharishye, that I will bring. Shirastasya, I will bring the head of that person. Yaste manini putraha. Oh, you who are a respectable lady, one who has killed your son, one who has beheaded your sons, I will behead him and bring his head to you. So Krishna reminds Arjuna of his words, so that Arjuna will not slacken in his resolve. Text 39. Tad asau vadhyatam papa atattaya atma bandhuha bhartushcha vipriyam veera krutavan kula pamsanaha. So, tad asau vadhyatam papa. So, this person, Vadhyatam, he deserves to be killed. Why? This man is papa, he is a sinner. Atatya. Atatya, he is an aggressor. Atma Banduha. He is the murderer of your own family members. Bhartushcha Vipriyam Veera. Further, he has displeased even his own master. Krutavan Kulapamsanaha. By his action which he has done, he has actually destroyed the good name of his dynasty. So here Krishna is speaking very strong words. You know, often a person who does something glorious is said to be Kulbhushana. He is the person who brings glory to the dynasty. Or if a great saintly person is born in some dynasty, then that person will be called as Kulpavanaha. He is the purifier of his dynasty. So that is positive, a glorifier or purifier of a dynasty. But a very negative one is Kul Pamsanaha. Pamsanaha means one who, Prabhupada translates it as, the burnt remnants of the family. So normally, when a fire comes, then fire illumines. But if ashes are left, the ashes have no capacity to illumine. And the ashes simply signify an utter wastage of things. So similarly, what is conveyed here is that Kulpamsanaha, Ashwatthama, he may have been born in the illustrious dynasty of Brahmanas, but sometimes the word Pradipa is used. He is a light of the dynasty, Kula Pradipa. But he is a Kula Pamsana, he is the ashes of the dynasty. Now, ashes are not considered to be of any use. So, So he is, his crime, Krishna is stressing that he's a sinner, he's an aggressor, he's a murderer of your own family members. And further, Bhartushya Vipriyam Veera. So here, Krishna is pointing out that, you know, he was so misdirected that even the grievous deed that he did, that did not even please his master. So, who was his master? That was Duryodhana. And Ashwatthama, he had decided that he would do something for Duryodhana, and he decided that I will kill the 5 Pandavas and bring them to you, he had told Duryodhana. And accordingly, he had gone at night and attacked the Pandava camp and had killed 5 people in the most opulent tent in the Pandava camp, and he had thought those 5 people were the Pandavas. And he had killed them when he was in the fire of anger. He was carried away by that fire of anger. At that time, he had killed everybody else also over there. And then he had brought the 5 heads. And Duryodhana had been delighted. Oh, the Pandavas, my mortal enemies, are dead. But when he took, he was shrewd. Although he was obstinate, he was evil, he was envious, but still, he was shrewd. He knew that it would not have been so easy to kill the Pandavas. What the whole Kaurava army had not accomplished, how had Ashwatthama succeeded in accomplishing that? So in checking that, he asked to be shown the heads. And when he was shown the heads, at that time, he, even in his weakened stage, he was able to crush the heads. And when he crushed the heads, he said, these are not the Pandavas' heads. These are the heads of the 5 sons of the Pandavas. And Duryodhana was upset. He was mortified. Not because it was such a terrible crime to kill the 5 Pandavas' sons. Still, he was thinking of the fact that all my sons have been killed and our dynasty will end. And that was a matter of grief, matter of lamentation for him. So he had that sense of dynasty and he wanted that our dynasty to continue. So when the dynasty was threatened with an end because of Duryodhana's misguided actions, he was horrified, mortified, agonized. And in this way, Ashwatthama's actions, the point here is that sometimes if a person has committed a terrible crime, that person may claim blamelessness, or at least may claim that I am not fully culpable, I am partially culpable because I was simply following orders. So, for example, in the Nuremberg trials, which were held after the Second World War, at that time, many of the Nazi generals and Nazi soldiers who were in charge of, say, the gas chambers where millions of Jews and others were killed, so they said that we were simply following orders. So, can a person claim immunity from blame because that person is following orders? Actually, no, because even when one is following orders, at that time, when they are following orders, one has to have one's basic intelligence, basic conscience, and one has to distinguish what is to be done, what is not to be done. So, even if in the name of following orders one does abominable, despicable, reprehensible things, then one will be held responsible. Just like if a person is a hired killer, a mercenary, and that person murders someone. Yes, the police will want to know that who was the person who sent you, who paid you, and that person also will be punished. But that does not mean that the person who killed, who pulled the trigger, will not be punished. Or the culpability will be shared. But the killer, the person who pulled the bullet, will also have to bear culpability. But in the case of Ashwatthama, that would also not apply. You know, there would be no one to share his culpability, because when Ashwatthama killed, it was not on behalf of the of Duryodhana. Duryodhana had wanted him to kill the Pandavas, not the Pandavas' sons. So he could not even take the justification, the rationalization that I was following orders. But he had done something which was not according to the orders. Ashwatthama had not told even Duryodhana that I will fight and I will kill the Pandavas when they are sleeping. He had done that of his own accord, and then on top of that also, first of all, he had killed with ghastly level of unfairness, and that too he had done without ended up displeasing the person whom he was supposed to be obeying. And that's why Krishna is saying that he's pointing that out. Bhartushcha vipriyam veera, he is talking about this point to say that he is no extenuating circumstance here. He cannot even be claimed to be following orders, because the orders were not to kill the Pandava's sons. So now the discussion moves on. Sutuvacha, text 40. Evam parikshata dharmam partha krishnena choditaha naichadhantum guru sutam yadyapya atmahanam mahan. So evam parikshata dharmam. So parikshata, the word parikshita is a proper noun referring to Maharaj Parikshit, who is not yet born here. Here the word parikshata is the verb which is related with the word parikshita, not as a proper noun but as a general noun, common noun. So parikshit can refer to a person. Parikshit can also be, can refer to one who is being examined. So parikshita, so this was an exam which is going on. So Krishna was provoking Arjuna that don't release him, punish him. You can even kill him right now over here, because you have not promised Yudhishthira that you will bring Ashwatthama back as a prisoner. You have in fact promised Draupadi that you will bring the beheader of her sons. So you should kill him right away. Don't have any mercy on him. But Krishna, so this sort of statements were actually a test for Arjuna. Evam parikshita dharmam. So how much was his understanding of dharma? How much was Arjuna capable of reining in his impulses and pursuing the course of dharma, even when he had enormous rationale for provocation, enormous reason for feeling provoked. So partha krishnena chodita. So Krishna was instructed partha das chodita. He was encouraged, impelled, motivated to kill him. Naichad dhantum guru sutam. But Arjuna remembered that this is Guru Suta. He is the son of my Guru Dronacharya. Actually, even on the fateful 15th day, when Drona put down his weapons on hearing that Ashwatthama had been killed from Bhima, a news that was false, at that time Arjuna did not desire to kill Drona. Arjuna's primary desire was to have Drona, arrested and kept in house arrest honorably till the war ended. But Drishtadyumna had an impulsive act, rush forward, and despite being reproached and ordered to stop by the various watching Kshatriyas, Drishtadyumna had beheaded Drona. So Arjuna was very remorseful at that time. In fact, Arjuna expressed the greatest amount of misgivings for that action. And there was almost a verbal fight between Arjuna and Bhima at that time, where Bhima actually celebrated Drishtadyumna's action, whereas Arjuna reproached and condemned Drishtadyumna's action. So now Arjuna did not want to go further and kill the Guru's son unless it was necessary. At least he did not want that action on his hands. And he wanted to act according to proper principles of Dharma. Yadyapi Atma Anam Mahan. So although Ashwatthama had given abandoned provocation, and nobody would have faulted Arjuna at this point if he had killed Ashwatthama, but still exhibiting knowledge of the principles of Dharma, Arjuna decided not to kill Ashwatthama. Text 41. Athopetya swashibiram Govinda priyasarathi navedayattam priyayai shochantya atmajanhatan. So athopetya swashibiram. So eventually, as Krishna spoke to Arjuna that we should not spare him, but Krishna decided to take Ashwatthama to his shibir, and there Govinda priyasarathi. And when Krishna saw that Arjuna had this desire, then Krishna also assented. Krishna did not insist on those words, so Govinda acted as his sarathi. And here, of course, the word is used, Govinda priyasarathi. So Arjuna was Govinda Priya. Arjuna was dear to Govinda, and he went with Krishna, who was also dear to him and was acting as his sarathi. Nyavedayet tam priyayai. And he took Ashwatthama to his priyayai, his dear wife. Shochantya atmajanhatan. Shochantya, she was grieving atmajanhatan, her own children, sons who had been murdered. So Arjuna got Ashwatthama as a prisoner of war and entrusted him to Draupadi. Now Draupadi would decide the fate of those warriors, of this war, this person who had acted so despicably. Tatharutam pashivat pashbaddham avanmukham karma jugupsitena niriksha Krishna. Krishna pakritam guru sutam vama svabhava krupaya na namacha. So tatha arutam, when he was brought like that, pashuvat pashabaddham, he was brought like an animal in front of her, after being bound with ropes, pashabaddham avan mukham karma jugupsitena. Avan mukham, he had nothing to speak. Karma jugupsitena, he had acted in such a despicable way. Ashwatthama stood in front of Draupadi. Now, you know, there are few things which drive home the reality and brutality of one's actions as being confronted with those who have been hurt, devastated by one's actions. When say two people are fighting and one person kills the other person, then this person is brought in front of the loved ones, his widows, children, his mother. So then the brutality of that crime, the gravity of that action, it may not always be a crime if it's a war and then one has to fight, one may have to kill, but still their suffering is real. And the gravity of that action that one has done, that is driven home when one confronts on a face-to-face basis the
those who have been whose lives have been devastated by one's action. So here, Ashwatthama in his blind rage had done ghastly things, but now when he was brought face to face with the consequences of his action, he just avan mukham. He had no words to speak. What could he speak? Well, based on the kind of actions he had done, it was utterly indefensible. So karma jugupsite, no, it was an indefensible action. Niriksha Krishna apakritam guru sutam. So he did not speak anything at all. But Niriksha, on seeing him, Krishna is the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is a name which is frequently used in the Bhagavatam. It would refer to Draupadi. So she was dark complexioned, beautiful dark complexion, and she was known as Krishna. Krishna apakritam. So kruti is action. Apakritam is one who does foul action. Guru Sutam. Although he had done apakritam, Draupadi's past interactions with Ashwatthama had been very respectful, as were appropriate for a Kshatriya or a Kshatrani to deal with a Brahmana. So she saw him now. She saw him as Guru Sutam. We saw that Dronacharya was the guru of her husband, and he was respectable for their whole dynasty. And so she saw him, this is the son of Ashwatthama, so he deserves respect. So Krishna apakritam guru sutam, on seeing the guru sutam, what? Vamaswabhava. She is here described as having a gentle nature. And kripaya nanamacha. She felt compassion. And nanamacha, she actually offered her respects, offered obeisances. This is incredible, the kind of action that Draupadi is doing over here. You know, it might be said that she just forgave him. Forgiving is also very difficult in such a situation, because he has killed her sons. But actually offering respects to such a person is unimaginable. Normally respects are offered based on the actions of a person. But if a person is acting in a reprehensible or abominable way, what is the reason for offering respect to that person? That question comes up naturally, and that question has no easy answers. So now what is it is described? She offered respects because it said Mama Swabhava Krupaya Guru Sutam. Three things are talked about. Although he was the killer of her son, she saw him not just for his immediate actions, but she also saw him in terms of his connections. He was Vama Swabhava. She was of a gentle nature. So, you know, our actions should be determined not just by our circumstances or others' actions. Our actions should be determined by our own principles, by our own nature. And principles of dharma. So she felt that as principles of dharma, she was herself gentle. Now it's interesting, Draupadi, if you look at the whole Mahabharata, is she really gentle? No, she is. Sita can be called as Vama Swabhava. Draupadi is actually quite a furious lady. She gets angry with She gets upset with Arjuna when Arjuna marries a second wife, Subhadra. She doesn't even want to talk with him at that time. Then, when in the forest, she goads Yudhishthir to fight and reclaim their lost kingdom immediately without waiting for the 14-year period to get over. And she speaks quite strongly to him. And here, Vama Swabhava. She's called of a gentle nature because although she would get angry, she was also very soft-hearted. She was also very gentle. This is the incident which brings out her Vama Swabhava in a very striking way. That although this person has killed her own sons, you know, there is no pain for a woman as to undergo the death of her own sons. And to lose one son is bad. To lose all of one's sons in one go, that is unbearable. And yet, Draupadi, far from exhibiting a vengeful streak or a malevolent disposition, she is described as having Vama Swabhava. She has a gentle nature. That is the nature of her character. Text 43, what does she speak? Uva cha sahantyasya bandhanan nayanam sati muchayatam muchayatam esh brahmano nitaram guruhu. So uvacha, she speaks, asahyantya asya, she could not bear the fact that bandhan, that he was bound, anayanam, you have brought him bound to me, sati, she was devoted to her husband, but her devotion to her husband did not mean that she would just blindly approve every action of her husband. She protested. He said, no, this should not be the muchayatam, muchayatam, Isha. Please free him. So muchayatam, muchayatam, the repetition twice indicates the stress of the strength of her desire as well as the fervent emotion underlying it. And she gives reasons quickly. It's brahmano, he's a brahmana, nitaram guruhu. And further, he's our guru, he's connected with our guru, he's the son of our guru. So in one sense, he's our guru. So here there can be conflicting ways of looking at this. You know, in one sense, Prabhupada's purports also in this section go both ways. And in general, when we are looking at characters in scriptures, we are too small people to arrive at a specific value judgment of what should have been done and what should not have been done, of how they should have acted. What we should instead focus on is what we can learn from such actions. So now the actions could have gone both ways. Here we could say that Draupadi was too soft-hearted. Draupadi was respecting a person simply for his externals and not for himself. That means she was simply looking at him. Where he was coming from, which caste, which dynasty, which family. But she was not looking at his own actions. And thus, she was not seeing deep enough. She was looking at superficial considerations. So that would be one way of looking at it. But another way of looking at it is, but actually, this person was the killer of her sons, that was understood, that was known. And instead of just focusing on that fact, Draupadi was looking at other things also. So her capacity to see all this, that he is the son of our guru, he is a brahmana, all this also we could say that indicates capacity to look deeper. So this will vary according to time, place, circumstance. Sometimes some people wear the dress of a sadhu, and general people offer respects when they just see anyone wearing that dress. But is the dress alone enough? No, that person has to act like a sadhu. If the person doesn't act like a sadhu, then wearing that dress alone is far from enough. That can lead to misleading and misrepresentation of the order that one is supposed to represent. So, is this action appropriate? So, Krishna, Draupadi will give several reasons in the next verses wherein she will strongly protest this treatment of Ashwatthama. And those we will discuss in our future talks. Thank you.